Night in one of the many cities that never sleep, in this case Rio, and the man known simply as Sam sat quietly in the corner of Cantina del Rey, biding his time, hitting his eyes against the smoky atmosphere. Head to foot in somber black, he was a big guy, 6'4" if he was an inch, and built with it. He made brick outhouses look like they weren't really trying. One of those silent but deadly types. Double-cross him and you knew you were on a one-way ticket straight to the hot place, no questions asked. He made the local lowlives nervous, and one by one the majority had left. The wife-beaters and the dope smokers, the pimps and the adulterers, the ones who didn't want anyone looking too closely into their affairs and asking too many questions. "Are you Sam?" he squinted up. "Who wants to know?" She was quite the broad. She wore a long, dark dress. High in the neck, sure, but so tight over her breasts and hips it could have been sprayed on. The short bubble crop of deep red curls had a gaming quality that shouldn't have been attractive, but was. Really was. Underneath, there was a pair of smoldering feline eyes and a wide, sensuous mouth that promised much to the right man, or maybe only the right price. "You can call me Steve." Strange name for a dame. Like she hadn't heard that before. "I was told you were the man to come to." Sam narrowed his eyes. "Yeah? Who told you that, dollface?" "He didn't say. Buy me a drink?" "Sure." He didn't know who she was or what she wanted, but Sam had been raised right. He always bought the lady a drink, even if he didn't think she was a lady at all. He slid a glass of local fire water over to her and struck a match. Tendrils of smoke from her cigarette curled into the air like a genie escaping from a bottle. Sam could see the tightness of the skin around her eyes and mouth. This broad was nervous, scared even. Trouble for sure. Trouble with that all-too-familiar capital T. "I'm told you know how to make people disappear. There's someone I want disappeared tonight. It's important. If he isn't off the scene, and I mean right now, they'll come after me to get to him. They want information, and these people will stop at nothing to get it." Her eyes, big, limpid pools of greenness, eyes a man could drown in if he wasn't careful, held his gaze, a hint of defiance and arrogance in them. Sam said nothing but flicked an eyebrow at her, waiting. Impatiently, she exhaled and stubbed out the cigarette. "They want my brother, and they'll try to use me to get to him."
"Your brother, eh?"
"Sure." Sam's eyes caught the narrow gold of band on her left hand.
"You married?"
She lifted her chin and flashed the ring at him contemptuously, daring him to challenge her.
"That's what it means, Buster.
So what? Did you think I was some two-bit hooker with a sad story and a fondness for gin? Yeah, for your information, wise guy, Charlie really is my brother. He's my twin. And they told me you were different from all the rest." Her mouth twisted with bitterness.
"Hey, it doesn't matter to me who you are, sister. I make it a point never to judge. Pax?"
He held out his hand.
"Pax."
He liked this dame. She wasn't one of those sulky ones, didn't hold a grudge. Whatever, whoever she was, whatever trouble she was about to lead him into, she was okay by Sam.
"These guys who are after your brother, it's who I think it is, right?"
She nodded.
"Damn. What do they want with your brother, sweet socks?"
"They think he's been going around bad-mouthing, you know the score."
"Did he?"
"No, never." She took a slug of the whiskey, her face pinching with its taste, spoiling her pretty looks. "Charlie's one of the good guys, you know? Sure, he comes across as not too bright, likes to show off maybe and strut about the town, but he's loyal as they come, I swear it." Those big puppy dog eyes of hers staring up at him. A man would have to have a heart of stone to deny her, and Sam's heart was all living, beating flesh. He took a slug of the whiskey himself. The alcohol burning a river of fire down his throat.
"Yeah, I can help you. I have contacts at the port. I can get your brother on a ship that's sailing at dawn. No questions asked and no papers needed. Where is he now?"
The dame breathed out. "I've got him hidden away. Stashed where they'll never find him." The bartender gave a cough like a tubercular calf and jerked his head towards the back door. Trouble was coming their way and coming fast. Time to go. He got up and picked up his long black coat.
"Okay, lady, show me the way." "Sam Panda, I might have known I'd find you here."
Too late. Sam stopped, his eyes closed. He knew that voice. Oh, God, did he know that voice.
Quietly he turned. Hello, Mike. Wouldn't have expected to find you out on a dirty night like this. The tall, slim, unmistakable form of Michael Martello, his face half hidden in the shadows, stood before him, arms crossed. In years gone by, they had trained together, worked together, drank, argued, and laughed together. But in recent years, they had gone their separate ways, taken different paths. Mike had joined the squad, with all that implied, while Sam, well, he liked to think of himself as on the side of the angels. Martello gave a short, hard laugh. Well, you know what they say, Sam. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, and it's Monsignor Martello of the Inquisition Squad to you these days. Who's your lady friend? He shot Steve an appraising look, his eyes trailing insolently over the tight dress, taking in the curves. Just a friend. We were taking some time to put the world to rights. You know how it is. Oh, yes, Martello knew how it was. You got something to get off your chest, sister? You should have come to me. Mike Martello's the guy to see you right. I can offer you an absolution that'll take you straight to heaven. Again, the eyes swept over her, his lip curled into a lascivious sneer. Steve stared back, cool as a long, tall glass of milk and calm as a mill pond on a summer's morning. It's like he says, Monsignor, we were just talking, catching up on old times. But it's getting late, I'd better get back. I'll get some of the squad to take you home. Wouldn't like to see an upright member of the community lose her way now, would we? There's some bad people out there. That's okay, Mike, I'll take the lady home. I'm sure the squad have better things to do with their time. The two of them eyeballed each other. A whole lifetime of rivalry there. Toe to toe and nose to nose. Sam didn't flinch. Sam never flinched. With a hiss, Martello looked away. Watch yourself, Panda. You're not immune. You put one foot wrong and I'm coming for you. Old times or no old times. You know me better than that, Mike. See you around. The streets outside were slick with the rain that had fallen like the tears of a mother weeping for her lost child all night long. The lights of Cantina del Rey reflected in the wet, shiny surfaces, flickering on and off. In the distance, a siren wailed. The trusty hairs at the back of Sam's neck stood upright. He knew he was being watched. Get behind me, kid. He pushed her behind his back and drew out his black Beretta, the symbol of his chosen trade and the sometimes dirty work he had to do. You're a priest, she squeaked. You better believe it, sweetheart. Don't let the collar fool you. I can take care of myself. And pulling his hat down over his eyes, he grabbed her by the wrist. Which way? He muttered. That way, towards St. Michael's. We'll take the back streets. Keep close to me. The squad was busy tonight. They were everywhere asking their questions. Maybe this Steve Dame was right. Maybe this brother of hers was a marked man. Together they hurried from dark alleyway to dark alleyway, always keeping to the shadows. Sam knew they were being followed. Whoever it was wasn't very good at it. His kid brother could have done a better job at 6 years old. Quick, in here. Steve opened a small, heavy oak side door and slipped inside. Sam followed and shot the bolts, pressing his ear to the wood. Footsteps approached, paused. The handle rattled and the footsteps went on, echoing into the darkness. Silence. Sam let out his breath. That was close. Too close. Where are we, sweet cheeks? St. Michael's crypt. They won't find us here. It's this way. Steve lit a lantern. The stark light made shadows dance over the heartbreakingly beautiful planes of her face and turned her eyes into starlit pools and then dark. She sashayed off into the gloom. Sam shrugged and followed. He's hidden underneath the altar, she murmured quietly in his ear, her voice low and husky in the dark as they entered the church proper. She hurried over and lifted the cloth. Charlie, it's me. Come out. I knew you would lead me straight to him. All I had to do was follow and wait. Martillo's sneering voice came out of the shadows in the nave behind them. He stepped out so they could see him. Pathetic. You used to be so much smarter than this, Panda. Now I've got the heretic and the sister, and you too for aiding and abetting. It's been a good night's work for Mark Martello, that's for sure. He came close and leaned menacingly over Steve. I'm going to enjoy questioning you, my lovely. Oh, yes, indeed. Might just need to take my time over it. Martello brushed his fingers lightly down her dress front, following the curves. Steve twitched in disgust. Sam gripped his arm, pulling it away. That's enough. I knew you were following me, Mike. I led you here to bring you out into the open, make you reveal your hand. What happened to you? You used to be so good, so clean, so pure. I looked up to you. We all did. But you've become corrupt. It's all bribes and back-scratching, politics and power with you now. What about the cause? When did you lose faith in it, Mike? Martillo shook him off, snarling. I'm not the one who's lost his faith, Panda. You've gone soft. You always were a lily-livered, mealy-mouthed, turn-the-other-cheek bastard. There's only one way to deal with the rot, and that's to cut it out. I'm going to make sure you all burn for this. As he bent to wrench back the cloth, Sam swiftly lifted the heavy silver cross from the altar and brought it crashing down on Martillo's head. He went out like a light. Silence reigned. Then, is he dead? Yeah, Sam grimaced. Pity. I really hoped it wouldn't come to that, that he would be smart, do the right thing. You've killed one of the Inquisition squad. What have you done? Steve's eyes and mouth made three perfect circles. Sam grabbed her by the shoulders, made her look at him. Listen to me, sweet cheeks. Mike Martillo was no good. I didn't know it was going to be him. I really wish it wasn't. The regret was bitter in his mouth, like week-old cigarette smoke. We've known there was someone corrupt in the squad for months, someone high up, but we didn't have proof. The man who sent you to me, small guy, pale eyes, wears a wig, right? He's had this whole thing under surveillance for a while now, waiting for the right moment. Martillo made a big mistake accusing your brother of heresy. My friend has got copies of all the records of his church attendances, all the receipts for the donations he made to the good causes, the work he's done. You knew Charlie was innocent? Sam grinned and clipped her lightly on the chin. Yes, sweetheart, I knew your brother was one of the good guys. He looked down at the pool of spreading blood at his feet. Killing Martillo was the right thing to do, but it complicates things. It's going to get pretty dicey around here for a while, and it's better if Charlie's not involved. I think we should still try to get him to the ship. As he spoke, a bell started ringing, low and mournful, like the cares of the world were pressing it down. Curfew. Damn. No civilians allowed out after curfew. We can disguise him. I thought this might happen, and I've brought some of my things. Steve spoke confidently. Sam shook his head. No go, hotshot. It's religious types only at this time of night. She smiled but said nothing, reaching under the altar to pull out a young man with the same cherubic red curls and face as herself. A little taller, maybe, but not much. And a large bundle. The pair embraced affectionately, and she said, Sam, this is Charlie. Charlie, Sam Panda, sleuth, priest, and all-around good guy. He's going to get you away tonight. Here, put this on. She undid the bundle and handed him a dress, surcoat, and wimple. Another surcoat and wimple were there, too. You're a nun? Sister Stephen of St. Michael's. Your friend didn't tell you? He's not one for naming names. I gathered. What will we do with him? She nodded towards the prone body of Martillo. Feel like taking the credit? We could gather the church silver around him. Then when Charlie and I are gone, you go straight to Mother Superior and tell her you caught someone stealing. He tried to attack you and you hit him. He's Inquisition. Sam shrugged. Nothing on him to say so. He bent and yanked off the large rosary around Martillo's neck, pocketing it. He's not even wearing a cross. How were you to know? It's a lie, Sam. He brushed his thumb against her forehead twice. I absolve you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go forth and sin no more. Problem solved? She grinned. Problem solved. You are a handy man to have around, Father Panda. You're quite a dame yourself, Sister Steve. Next time I'm up against the squad, I'd be happy to have you at my side. He meant it, too. Steve smiled demurely up from under her eyelashes, lashes that could sweep a man off his feet if he weren't careful. That is, if they weren't both already promised to someone else. Anytime, Sam. Just give me a call or even a whistle. You do know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and... Sam! What are you doing? A stern voice from behind him made Sam jump, and with a guilty expression he turned round. Sam's natural father, Captain Jack Aubrey of His Majesty's Royal Navy, stood, tall and imposing, in the doorway as the light spilled in from the hall, his epaulets glinting impressively. He looked unusually forbidding. Nothing, sir. Just writing about some of my adventures. You and the doctor have had so many wonderful and exciting ones over the years, I thought I would put down a few little ones of my own. Nice try, Sunshine, but those are the wrong tropes entirely. You know perfectly well we are age of sail here, so you'll oblige me with a little less of your wet, shiny streets, curling cigarette smoke and wailing sirens. Throw in a few more tacks in succession. Pennant hoists and swaying out of boats, if you please. You can lighten all those damn dark shadows with some signal lanterns and rocket flares while you are about it. Oh, and if you really must have some odious wench whistling, she bloody well better be scratching a backstay while she's at it. His father glared at Sam, who meekly bowed his head under this evident disapprobation, and without another word turned back to his desk and picked up his pen. God's my life today! Kids today! Muttered Aubrey, his eyes raised to the heavens, and a disbelieving shake of his head as he stomped off to find a sailor to berate. A few doors away, listening to this exchange with a rueful half-smile, Dr. Stephen Matcherin sat at his own writing desk. He was extremely fond of Jack Aubrey in an entirely manly and heterosexual way, and, as Sam had quite rightly said, they had shared so many adventures together. But sometimes Stephen thought Jack was just too old-fashioned for his own good. He had no notion at all of moving with the times. After all, this was the 19th century, for all love. He turned back to his own memoirs and reread his latest entry. Dutard stood gloatingly over the prone body of Maturin. He was strapped to a large table, his wrists and ankles pulled as far apart as was possible. The evil machine, which could wreak such havoc on a frail body, poised overhead. And so you see, my dear Dr. Maturin, you are none nearly as clever as you think. It is I who has the upper hand here. Dutard gave a sinister smile and stroked the large, white, fluffy cat in his arms. Sir, Monsieur Dutard, I suppose you want me to talk, sneered Maturin. No, Dr. Maturin, I want you to die.